Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, September 26, 2024. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friend, Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Wood County. Anna, good to see you.
Good to see you too, James.
Thanks so much for being here and bringing us a great topic today. We're going to get into community science and, of course, science by the river, one of our favorite things and favorite events in this area. But first off, before we dive into that, you know, I think it's a good idea to get into what community science is, Anna.
Yeah. Community science, it's a form of research that provides everyone. It doesn't matter if you're just from the general public or you're a researcher, regardless of your background, an opportunity to contribute meaningful data to further our scientific understanding of key issues. Community science opportunities are abundant in our world and oftentimes go unnoticed or unmentioned, which is quite a shame because they're really important and community science efforts have advanced and informed so many different topics in our world or issues that our world is facing. They're really, really valuable.
Mm-hmm. The data collected can be so important.
Yeah.
And so vital on so many different layers and so many different levels.
Yeah. And, you know, researchers and scientists rely heavily on community science efforts. You know, by engaging community members, researchers can collect a larger amount of data that often spans more geographic region in a shorter amount of time. There's only so much one researcher or one scientist can do,
That's
you
a
know?
Really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that this can change from not just from one community to the next, but one like address to the next.
Yes.
And everything is, that's why this data becomes even more important. And then you add on the top of whether it's grants or scientific data or et cetera, there's so many reasons for people to be on the lookout for ways that they can impact this.
Yeah.
They can be a part of this.
Yep. And when you're a part of something like this, you're learning so much about that specific topic. And the more we learn, the more apt we are to share that information or to bring awareness to a specific topic, which is really cool.
Yeah. I'm so glad you touched on that early on. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle with this. It's fun to learn.
It
and
is.
This is a fun topic. And community science, this isn't something new, though, is it, Anna?
It is not. It's actually been around since the 1800s. So Alexander von Humboldt, he was a naturalist and explorer who traveled a lot in South America, and he was one of the first people to describe human roles in climate change, which is really interesting, right? We think that that's a new topic. Nope.
Wow.
1800s, you know.
Yeah.
Alexander von Humboldt had a dream of uniting communities through scientific observations, so he established a series of observing stations throughout the world in hopes of coordinating the global study of Earth's magnetism.
If somebody tried to do that nowadays, it would be a big project, an ambitious project, and we would admire it, and it would be pretty cool, and there'd probably be some grants and funding involved.
Right.
This guy did this in the 1800s, where just breathing was hard. Like,
it's
incredible. That is incredible. That
very,
is really cool.
Very, and I mean, that effort was the first community science effort that really built the foundation on which modern scientific community at its best should operate, right? You're collecting and you're sharing knowledge across the world for free, you know, knowledge. Free opportunities for learning.
Which is perfect with this subject and just perfect in general. I'm a big believer in knowledge should always be free. I don't think that education should ever cost a penny. That's a whole other topic. but when it comes to this type of information, it's even that much more vital that it is shared. It is free form. It is out there. It is one thing that I admire. I'm sure this changes from time to time with certain layers of the community, the scientific community. But so much of the scientific community seems to be like about the information, not about me.
Yeah.
Not about so much who discovered this spider, but that this spider was discovered.
Yeah.
And I admire that so much. I think that's a huge part of this and the sharing of this information. And especially with, you know, I get into this conversation almost on a daily basis with whether Midday Magazine guests or just our listeners. There are so many big issues out there in this day and age, and sometimes they can seem overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like I look at this similar to when I was a kid and I looked at my messy room. And I don't know, I didn't know where to begin. I got a really messy room.
Yeah.
You just start in one spot.
Right.
You start in that one spot and you work your way around.
Right.
And if you break these things down, it becomes, okay, well, this is actually solvable.
It's attainable.
Yeah, we can do something about this.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what we face today, right? Like you said, in today's world, we're facing some big issues that on an individual level can feel daunting, right? We think about climate change. We think about species endangerment, destruction of our natural resources, right? Like these are just things that we're facing. And as an individual, it can be really daunting to think about how can I fix this? But community science, if we approach it with that mindset, you don't have to face those issues alone, right? Oftentimes in science, whether you're, you know, a scientist collecting data or a politician bringing awareness or advocating for funding, et cetera, we tend to become siloed into our own areas of research, our own topic areas, et cetera. But if we approach things with a community mindset where researchers are doing something, you know, that they're digging into the science of it, the community science efforts are giving researchers, they're creating data sets for those researchers. Politicians are advocating, utilizing that data to advocate for more funding. You know, it's just the less we silo ourselves and the more we bring that community approach, I think the more effective these efforts can be.
This is something that we touch on almost on an hourly basis, if not a daily basis here at Civic Media. It's a big part of our mission of bringing our communities together more and getting rid of a lot of the divisiveness. This is a very similar thing with this, where we are looking to bring people together. And you talk about a topic of all topics that can bring people together. We got one rock. We got one rock to live on, everybody.
Yeah.
Making this thing work is in the benefit of all of us.
Right.
The planet doesn't care who you vote for. The planet doesn't care.
No.
They just want to stick around.
Yeah.
And when we can share this information, we also, I think, find so much of another commonality between us, where I bring this up a lot, where I grew up in South Chicago, mm-hmm. and here in Wisconsin Rapids, the people have so many commonalities.
Yeah.
There are so many connections between the two that we are more alike than we realize. It's just oftentimes we don't have that information brought to us. This is another one of those connections. This is another one of those things that brings us together and shows that we have more in common than not, even in the land we live on.
Right. I mean, we're all affecting the land we live on,
whether
we know it or not. And we can all be part of the change. And that's what's beautiful about these, you know, community science efforts is they give people an opportunity to become part of the change, to learn, to have a positive effect on their community, on the world, that affects so many more people than, you know, just us as individuals.
And Anna, I don't want to skate past the point because I think it's a really strong one that you brought up, and I appreciate so much the insight that you have on these things that I don't see myself very often. The idea that we are not in this alone, the reminder of that, and the continuing reminder of that, because you're right, we do get very, even just in our daily grind, we get locked in our own heads, let alone if we're on social media or some of these things that create us in a bubble effect.
Yeah.
The idea that we are not alone in this is something that we need to be reminded of from time to time. And it's a great note on this. And it's also a good note what you mentioned and what we're about to get into as far as how in Wisconsin here, we have a lot of opportunities for you to be able to do this.
I know. I was trying to count yesterday when I was putting my notes together on the topic, how many I could name offhand, you know, or off the top of my mind. And so I did a little bit more searching because I'm like, I know we have more. We actually in Wisconsin have 34 different community science efforts. And those were only the ones that I could find. So I'm sure there are
probably more.
Yeah, probably much more. And they're really, really unique to Wisconsin. These are, and you know, other parts of the country have different community science approaches and programs. But Wisconsin, I think, really values and thrives on our community science efforts.
What kind of programs exist, Anna?
Yeah, so the programs that exist cover a wide variety of topics. If you are interested in wildlife, invasive species, insects, water quality, birds, climate, plants and even space. I did not know we had like a space community science program in Wisconsin, but we do.
I'm very intrigued by that. That sounds really cool. And they're like, it's, you talk about something where there's something for everybody. Yeah. I mean, it really does cover the gamut of things. That, and with these, especially with all of these too, you are experiencing, you're out in nature, you're taking in some nature and you, well, I have to go out. I got this community service thing. I got to do this. You get to see outside as well.
And not only that, you're meeting new community members, right? Yeah. You're meeting new folks within your community. Wow. You're building new friendships. You're not only meeting community members, but also conservation professionals. And these community science efforts, I don't want to get us into the mindset that they're just conservation focused. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they're everywhere. But if you're part of the ones I'm talking about, you're going to meet so many different conservation professionals that will be able to help you learn more about different topics. It's really neat.
That's another, I mean, again, with the insight and the points here I don't see. As we get older, and this is not a age thing necessarily, but it is, it does have to do with it a little bit, where as the older we get, it becomes harder and harder to make new friends and just to run into people, just to meet people. That's a great point about this. You talk about meeting people that are, whether they're like-minded or just have similar, you know, things that you have in common or whatever. This is a great event for that. This is a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, it is. And you know, like, you have to gauge your time too. So I will speak on some of the groups that I know. The demographics are generally people that are higher in age, right? But I really want to encourage younger folks to become involved in some of these citizen science efforts and these community science efforts, because you are the next generation that will be able to take the reins on these programs and help inform data. We have to have that generational turnover within these efforts so they thrive, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the only way this works is if we hand the baton off and that next generation is ready to take it.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we have opportunities for that too, for young and old and all to get immersed in this.
Yeah.
Do you have any opportunities or anything coming up, Anna, that touch on that you wanted to invite anybody to? Or
yeah, James, I do. So if you're interested in any of these community science efforts, you can go to UW-Madison Library Research Guides, and you can search community science opportunities, people and projects, and there's a whole list that will be brought up. But if you want a more hands-on experience with some of these efforts, I invite all listeners to join me at Science by the River on October 5th, 2024. So that will be next Saturday.
Yeah, coming
Science
right up.
Science by the River. I know, it's wild.
You guys ready?
I think so. I hope so. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel confident. You guys are ready.
Well,
you guys are set for this. It's easy for me to say, probably. Yeah. But this is, for those that are new to the community or haven't gotten a chance to experience this, this is one of my favorite events we do. I love the combination. I love all of the things that this brings and how spread out this is in our community. This is a free community event that's going to be hosted here in Wisconsin Rapids. Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit more about it, Anna?
Yeah. So Science by the River is a celebration of, you know, all things science and outdoors. So it's a free community event, like James said. We'll be set up on the walking path here in Wisconsin Rapids, the riverfront walking path from Ben Hansen Park right over to the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market. And we'll go from 11 o'clock to 2, and the main attraction, I guess you would call it, for Science by the River is our discovery stations. So along that walking path, we'll have almost 20 different discovery stations set up. And the hosts of these discovery stations are different science-based organizations, groups, departments throughout our community and surrounding communities. So those folks will host different discovery stations, and they'll have information, hands-on activities, information on how you can become involved, what these groups do, etc. And they're all science-based. We're really trying to just bring awareness of how of the efforts in our community that are science-based and what's going on, because like I've said before, oftentimes it's not talked about, right? And it seems like hidden gem in our community, and there's
really does.
So many opportunities.
This event, one of the things that I love about it, and I didn't realize it until last year's event, I think a lot of us can relate to or remember, I should say, in school, especially in science classes, this happened. You know what? We're going outside today, kids.
Yeah.
We're doing the class outside, or it was just a nice day out, so the teacher brought us outside to learn and everything, and how great those days were, how great those classes were. This is that, you know, times 1,000. This is that on a bigger scale, even.
Right. It's all outdoors. Mm-hmm. If anything, so I say, you know, we have got the 20 different discovery stations. They're set up along the paved trail. It is 2 miles long. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming, make sure you bring a bike or you bring walking shoes, etc. But it's 2 miles of different discovery stations that you can stop at. If something doesn't interest you, at least you're going on a walk right next to the Wisconsin River, and we'll have facts about the river set alongside on little yard signs. That's we'll cool. have facts about how you can become involved in science efforts. There'll be something for everybody. And this is all ages are welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have kids, we're going to have kind of a little discovery station scavenger hunt.
Oh, I love this. I love scavenger hunts. It's such a cool idea.
James, maybe we'll give you a scavenger
hunt. I was going to ask. Off air, I was going to ask there was an age limit, but
it's aimed at kids, but we won't say no.
Good to hear.
And if, you know, the kiddos or whoever finishes the scavenger hunt and visits a certain amount of discovery stations, you'll get a prize at the end. And cool. I'm not going to give away what the prizes are, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I imagine. When you're talking about this and taking in these things, I'm imagining so many people in our community enjoying this, but also realizing at the same time I am, this is fun. There is no downside to this.
No. But,
you know, you're going to check this out. And like you said, if you get to a station and it just doesn't interest you or the child that much, you move on to the next station, or at the very least, you guys got to go out for a walk together.
Yep. And it's 11 o'clock to 2 p.m.
Not a big time commitment.
And it's come and go at your leisure. Like, if you want to just come and go as you please, go for it. That's A-okay.
We're going to have some stations there, too, like the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UW-Stevens Point down there to share information and get people caught up on some things as well.
Yeah, so they'll be down there, the Center for Watershed Science and Education. They'll be down there. They'll be talking about watershed health, watershed information. They'll have some demonstrations on watersheds. And if you are a private well owner, they are offering free nitrate screenings for your well water. Wow. All they do is ask that you bring one cup of water in a clean container and free of charge to you. Wow. You can get your well water screened for nitrate. I mean, that's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. And again, well, you get to take in all of this and getting something like that done, checking that off your to-do list and everything is nice.
Yes. Yep.
The Nisina National Wildlife Refuge is also going to be down there. We love our friends over there.
Yep. And their friends group, the Friends of the Nisina National Wildlife Refuge, will be with them. They'll have information about the refuge, which is, I think, a hidden gem in central Wisconsin. We have a national wildlife refuge in our backyard. They'll have a stream table there demonstrating, you know, natural flows of streams, how they change over time, how conservation efforts can help improve. It's a really, really cool demonstration.
I haven't saw that before. That's really interesting. Oh, check that out. And with this, the discovery education stations will be set up and everything as well to kind of teach on some other topics.
Yep, they'll be teaching about rocketry and electricity. They'll have face painting. They'll have different arts and crafts. And they're going to bring three of their animal ambassadors. And if you want to know what their animal ambassadors are, you're going to have to show up and see them.
you're so good at the teas. You're so good at these. As we've touched on, this is not only a fun event for you as a person or going with your friends or certainly your family, but when it comes to bringing kids into these events, for one, it's always great to have something to look forward to and have something that you can do with the kids that is, to be blunt, free and you get them outdoors. But you also, we just never know when that spark might happen in the kid's mind.
Yep.
And you were talking before about getting younger people involved in these in these organizations and getting them care about conservation.
Yeah.
This is one of the ways we do that, by sparking that interest in them and showing them how cool science is, how great it is, and how rewarding this information can be.
Yeah. It's not just conservation that is at Science by the River. Very heavy conservation because that's Jen and I, that's who we know, right? Mm-hmm. But there's many different stations where, you know, maybe you're looking at engineering. there's a couple of stations that focus on engineering. Who knows if that's going to strike, you know, some chord in your kiddo and they, I really like this. I really like electricity. I'm going to be an electrician. You know, you just never know. So that's why we wanted to offer this opportunity to our community, not only for kids, but also for any age, to just become aware of the opportunities that you have to become involved, to put your efforts towards, or to just be curious about, right?
Yeah. And I know that you guys at Extension are a huge part of this. You do a lot of this, but you're not alone in this effort.
No.
As we're wrapping up, I want to shout out the other organizations and part of this with you.
Yeah. Clean Green Action has been a huge advocate and a huge supporter of Science by the River. And then the Encourage Community Foundation is also financially supporting this year, which is really wonderful. And we're really thankful for their support. And we've got a planning committee of all different organizations. You know, it's not just one UW Extension or two UW Extension educators that can take on this task. It takes the community to host a community event.
Do you guys, well said, do you guys need volunteers or anything for this event? Could you use extra hands or anything?
If we could use a couple of extra hands, if you'd like to volunteer, or if you'd like to just learn more information about Science by the River, you can reach out to me at 715-421-8440, or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
It throws me when I hear the I know. Sometimes. Now I'm used to Mitchell.
I know.
Do you guys have a Facebook page for Science by the River?
We do. Okay. We do have a Facebook page. You could go on Facebook and search Science by the River. I've got some sneak peeks at the discovery stations that we'll have set up, and we'll be releasing the map and a couple of different really cool information about the event.
And again, just to go back a little bit, Anna, and remind everybody about how they can be a part of these different conservation groups, these different organizations, as far as community science goes, that's another one you can ask Anna about as well and get caught up on. And Anna, one more time, if people need to reach out to you, get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu or call me at 715-421-8440.
We will see you at Science by the River.
Yes.
Enjoy yourself, and thank you so much for hanging out
Thanks
with us.
Thanks so much, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.